Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. What you're going to hear is a recording from the Hacker Public Radio Sunday sessions, Saturday sessions, my bad. Let's keep that in. And the purpose of these sessions is in order to record content for HPR. So if you want to record about something and or there's something you know a lot about and you want to share this information but you don't really know how to say it, or you need somebody to ask questions about it, then
basically if you can't get your cat or your dog to listen to you and you need a real human, come along and find some of us here who would prompt you and ask some questions and what else.
That's 9 a.m., right, on Mumble, on the Linux
9
Basics
a.m.
server.
9 a.m. EST on the Linux Basics Mumble server, 9 a.m. EST or 3 p.m. or 1500 hours, Europe, Amsterdam.
We just introduce ourselves from the top.
I'll start off first because I'm after Bert and Bert's muted himself. So I'm Bruce, and today I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and chime in when I have something useful to say.
Hey folks, this is Chatter. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. I finally got Bluetooth working with a headset, so I'm pleased to see that both the output and input is working. The problem is I can't use my headphones, my wired headphones. All I can use is Bluetooth, so I'm special that way today.
I'm Cobra 2, and I just came to moral support to anybody who needed to record something.
I'm a dude man, and I'll come into these Mumble channels and chat with anybody for prolonged periods of time. And I think today I wouldn't mind talking a bit about art, because that's what I've been spending the last week getting, trying to educate myself about.
Arch is in Arch Linux, I presume?
Yeah, Arch Linux distro.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I'm KT4B, John. I just go by John, but just for a handle, I use my amateur radio call sign. And basically, I'm just... I'm going to listen and throw my 2 cents worth in. I don't have a subject. I'm a master of nothing and interested in everything.
A real hacker.
My name is Kay Wisher. Kevin is my first name, so you can all refer to me by my first name. It don't matter. I don't have a particular subject for today. I thought we were just gathering here to kind of gather some information and kick off some ideas, but I'll be happy to give my 2 cents worth when needed.
Okay, well, I'm Nido Media. I'm a great supporter of HPR, and I'd be happy to record something about how to create a configure script. I'd be happy to talk about, how to create RPM packages and how to publish a RPM repository. And well, that's two subjects already. If there's something else you want to talk about, if you want to know about email, I can talk about that as well.
Dude, talk about somebody who's on the ball.
Excellent.
And over.
Well, since we have one, there's one subject, actually one particular subject on the list, I suggest we start with Arch Linux. Cobra, that was your subject, correct?
Negative, sir.
That was actually my subject, and thanks.
I'm very sorry for the confusion. I try to do better next time.
No, it's a great way of getting people involved, making them speak. You know, pretending that you were confused.
Arch Linux.
Arch Linux, I'll take the baton from here. As maybe you've known, if you listen to my podcast at dudemanov.cz, for over the last month or so, I've been swaying between which distro to use, hopping around on one foot aimlessly in some aspects. And I've kind of hopped on to Arch Linux. And I had heard through lots of podcasts I listened to, you know, that it's very technical and, you know, difficult to maintain and update. But I thought I'd give it a go anyway. And I've been playing with it for the last week on a virtual machine. But just the last few days, I'd got comfortable with a virtual machine, and I went ahead and put it on some raw metal. And I'm actually really surprised. I'm surprised that I haven't found it earlier, and I'm surprised how much easier it is than I actually thought. Has anyone else ever tried Arch Linux?
I've used Arch Linux for about 5 years.
I was actually considering doing some more subjects on Arch Linux, maybe even a podcast. I'd saw in the forums over Arch Linux that someone had asked maybe back in 2009 if people were interested. And my main reason is it's a great way to learn is chatting with people and meeting for some common subject. So maybe you can really help me here.
Well, I got a question for you. On your installer, you didn't really have to mess with any of the RC scripts of the old BSD init style. You just jumped straight into the systemd stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly, which made it so smooth. And to be honest, even in a virtual machine, I was amazed at how fast it booted, you know? And then in a virtual machine, how quickly it boots, and also how simple the documentation was. You know, I tried Gentoo a good few months ago, and I just got stuck at installing any kind of X Windows. But from the Arch, I followed the instructions, made my choices, got E17 up without a hiccup, followed how to configure auto login, and then I just went through the list of all the applications that I use on a day-to-day basis. I found out how to install stuff from the AUR repository and how to build those things installed. I think it's Yaura. Maybe you can correct me on that.
They used to call it yogurt.
That would be much easier to remember. How's it supposed to be pronounced?
I have no idea. I remember reading on the Arch Wiki a couple years back that it was pronounced as yogurt, but I don't know if that's still there.
Well, the main thing I wanted to bring to this episode was just to sort of bring out my feelings of what Arch Linux is and the benefits of it. Not necessarily like trying to sell it to people, but it seems to me that I never understood properly the motivations for it. And when I read the Arch Way, it was really fascinating. And not wanting to sound like a strange person, but it really harmonized with my feelings of free and open source and simplicity, and the fact I love the idea that they try not to apply too many of their own patterns to the upstream software, and in that way you use stuff as it's supposed to be, as near as possible by the original developers. And then if there are any problems, I understand it's maybe more straightforward to know that you can report the stuff straight upstream and get things fixed more quickly. Am I understanding that properly?
Yeah, Arch is a vanilla distro, vanilla meaning that they just pull straight from upstream and build the packages without applying hardly any patches. I think there's a couple kernel patches that they do, but other than that, everything's pretty much vanilla, kind of like Slackware.
Well, I found it's a lot easier to deal with than Slackware. Even though I like Slackware, I personally am using an Ubuntu based Mint. I'm on Mint 14, but that's just because some of my amateur radio applications that I like to use are in the repositories, and I'm not adept enough to build them from source. But my second boot on this machine is CrunchArch, and I love that. It is just wonderful, fast, quick. You know, just very, very great to work with.
Yeah, I was just going to download and have a look at the SynArch as well, you know, because the one problem I had with installing from the Arch was I needed a screen up to be able to follow the instructions when I was doing it on bare metal. And so I had my wife's computer, which is across the room and around the bed. So I had to keep jumping up, going over to her computer, writing something down, coming back to my computer, which, you know, tripled the install time just because I couldn't memorize all the commands. It wasn't complicated at all. It was just I had to walk across the room repeatedly.
Something Mono might want to think of next time you go to install it, use links, L-I-N-K-S, to browse over to the wiki and just use a text-based web browser to look at it.
Yeah, I actually thought about that afterwards, and I've installed it on the command line, but I haven't used it yet. I remember using that back in the university days, and it was really nice. But thanks for that. Bit too late, though.
Well, I've got a comment I think I'd like to bring up right now, that something that dawned on me the other day. You know, we talk about, you know, the different desktops. Yeah, you know, I haven't had any trouble loading an alternate desktop to any distribution that I've had, you know, on my play portion of my hard drive. When I had plain Arch working, I went from XFCE to Cinnamon without a problem and not a reinstall. I just loaded the desktop, the different desktop, and I wondered why folks haven't found that out, or am I above, or you know, ahead of the curve, or just lucky?
It's I really want to answer this, or to try and understand it better myself, because this is a frustration I've had with lots of different distros. You know, you get to the same distro but in a different graphical environment flavor, you know, a GNOME or a KDE version or whatever. And for one, it just seems like it unnecessarily creates a lot more work for the distro developers, and not wanting to criticize distro developers, but like if I'm making my own desktop, then I want to brand it and make it look like my own, so I feel comfortable in it. But I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter to me if I take on somebody else's branded desktop. You know, what I want is it to work functionally well and to be solid. You know, and I just am getting the feeling that maybe all those patches that the individual distros are putting on top of their packages to make it, you know, better, or to somehow integrate this or integrate that, aren't causing kind of incompatibilities between the different desktop environments or different installations of stuff. And then it kind of becomes maybe more complicated to and more problematic if you install different desktops.
If I may chime in.
Bruce?
No, fine. Go ahead.
Okay, I think you're right in a sense that there is indeed some incompatibilities made by changes made by certain distributions. However, I think that ultimately these distributions making their own little versions slightly different, and it makes that in the end we can decide, well, this way, or how Ubuntu did it, or how Fedora did it, or how Debian did it, that seems to be the right way. Let's go that path. I think that's more or less a natural part of the development. I think that the problem with installing the different desktop environments in distributions such as Fedora and Ubuntu has to do with the fact that one expects, if one installs the KDE package on an Ubuntu system, that one essentially gets the Kubuntu distribution, while if that is what you want to get, you need to look a bit further. You need to do a group install of the Kubuntu desktop, and well, everybody's calling it KDE, so they usually don't find out and install all the separate packages themselves.
What were you going to say, Bruce?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do more with what the focus of a particular distribution is. For example, Ubuntu, a couple of years back, I think they were really earnest in their bid to bring more users on board and get them used to the fact that, you know, Linux is not scary. It's not just command line. And I did like their approach to things. I think it's... I don't have a good analogy for it, but basically it's just one of those things where everybody has their own spin on things, actually literally as well. And what you have is that I think it exposes you to different looks and feels of different desktops. And that's, I think that after you get in at the entry level, then you realize a little later on, it's like, okay, this was really fun. I've had a lot of fun distro hopping. Now it's time to settle in and consider something a little more long term. And, you know, that's where I've been for a couple of years now, which is one of the reasons why, you know, either machine is, if I'm not running Slackware on one, I'm running Debian on another. So, I think ultimately after you get into the entry level, then you do decide a little bit further on what you want. The reason Debian was such an easy selection for me is because it allows me to use the XFCE desktop.
Well, more importantly,
it also gives... and the last thing is that you have exposure to 30,000 packages in Synaptic.
Well, my comment... let me clarify, was not that the different styles of distributions, such as what the group of Ubuntu styles from, you know, using XFCE and KDE, etc. My comment was the fact that for some reason, a lot of us think that what we've got to reinstall a whole distribution to look at Ubuntu in general, let's say, or Debian in general, with a different desktop. And you really don't have to. You can put that desktop on your working system and switch between, as long as you've got the hard drive space. And it's just a notion that I've heard over and over. Well, I tried Ubuntu, I didn't like that, so I got rid of it and put Kubuntu on, where all you really had to do was put the KDE desktop on your already working system.
Yeah, that has to be the Kubuntu test environment group package.
If you're using Ubuntu and you decide you don't like the GNOME interface, and then you install the Kubuntu desktop package, can you go back and remove the Ubuntu desktop package when you started off with the base Ubuntu?
I believe so, because
I would just guess here, you know, that all of these things are possible, but I'm really guessing that all the dependencies between the packages and whatever might nowadays, because of the complications, make some of these things likely to break or have complications or implications that we're not understanding. I just wanted to quickly say to Bruce, the 30,000 packages, I'd heard from a distro developer that in the Debian case, most of those are actually sort of duplicates or either outdated packages, and that number shouldn't be anywhere near as high as that. But I don't mean to create some war here about who's got the biggest what have you, but that was at least what I'd heard.
Oh, no doubt about it. In fact, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, then we'll close to distraction.
I think in terms of, yeah, there are a lot of duplicates. There's no doubt about it. In fact, I think that's one of the, problems that we ended up with in the beginning of the year. It's funny. I think that 2012 will go by as the year of the desktop for all the wrong reasons, because that's where we started off with a couple of really interesting new releases in terms of Razer QT, followed by E17, and I mean there were a lot of new development being done on the desktop, but. You know, now I think what we're running into problems with is that I don't know who runs Cinnamon here, but I found it to be pretty wonky on my wife's machine, and unfortunately I've actually had the machine seize on me 3 or 4 times, and that's a little unusual for a Linux distribution.
As it's my subject, I'm going to jump in here and dominate a little bit. But this was my whole reason for trying at least something which is simpler and less sort of modified by the distro makers, you know, Arch Linux, to see what things were like from upstream, you know, to see how the developers had intended it. And I would like to get back to the days where you could have multiple desktops installed on the same machine and they seem to work well together and reliably, you know. So that this is my whole thing with trying to not just I see using Arch as educating myself to be a little bit of a distro developer myself, but making the distro for my own personal use, you know, and maintaining it and understanding it, instead of just relying upon a distro. I have one question for you all, and that is how, like a lot of us do distro hopping, so how long do we usually leave a distro on our machine before we switch to something else? And how successful is the upgrade path on, say, Ubuntu or Debian build or Slackware between, you know, they're not rolling releases, but how successful and non-problematic are they between each minor or major release? And that amount of effort or upheaval, can you compare it to just the continuous maintenance required for, say, a rolling release like Arch Linux? Are they comparable, or is one of those systems, you know, more time-consuming?
With my experience, I find that the Debian-based distributions are much harder to upgrade than distributions such as Arch or Slackware.
I'd like to interject for just a second. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So a background of very long history with both Debian-based distros and Red Hat-based, and now Gentoo and Arch. I find that the rolling release distros, both Gentoo and Arch, the maintenance involved with keeping them up and upgrading and so forth is so much less time-consuming and problematic than, say, a Debian or an RPM-based distro. The potential for something to either break or not be compatible when you upgrade, say, a version of Ubuntu or Kumuntu or whatever, is far higher. To give you an example, my Gentoo system, which I've had running now for 4 years, close to 4 years, I originally installed it on an AMD 64-bit single-core system. And then about a year later, rather than reinstalling on new hardware, I simply changed some of the settings in the kernel so that the drivers were correct, and then cloned the installation onto the new hard drive and changed a couple settings on the bootloader, and it was up and running. And then about a year and a half after that, I went from that dual core system to now a quad core system. Same thing. All I had to do was change a few options in the kernel and then a few options with the bootloader, and I was up and running within 15, 20 minutes. Yeah.
That really confirms my thoughts, as I was just mentioning there in the chat. And I was amazed looking, and I don't mean to oversell Arch. Maybe Gentoo is very good as well, or some other distros. But I was amazed at the detail, but the kind of simplicity of the documentation over at Arch. If you can confine what you're looking for, there was descriptions of how to move an install onto a separate partition, you know, before you do an upgrade to make a backup, you know, how to move it to a separate machine, and really detailed but really effective. And I found it so interesting to read along and to improve my understanding.
I'm really interested in your... Go ahead, boss.
If I may ask a question, I'm only regarding the rolling releases. I'm only knowledgeable about Gentoo. I use CentOS and Fedora myself at the moment. But to me, the problem with a rolling release, or problem with the is that once upstream decides to upgrade the upgrade, and when that changes configuration options, then it changes configuration options, and once you restart your service, it may or may not work again. I think that is the idea with Debian and the CentOS-like releases, which keep a stable system, or at least a stable base, which may be a bit older because it was already a few years ago when it was released, but integrate the stream and have it safer to do an upgrade or an update of your system, and when you're ready for it, you can upgrade from, say, version 5 to version 6. Then you get all the configuration changes and all the binary incompatibilities in one go, and that gives you a moment when you have a lot of things to do, instead of having them moments in time. The advantage of the not rolling release being then that you can choose the moment when you do the upgrade.
Well, I would like to say that the one thing about Gentoo and Arch, well, first of all, Gentoo is almost as stable as Debian as far as updates go. They tend not to unmask packages in the standard repos until they're absolutely sure that they're stable, number one. Number two, you don't really have the problem of being forced to upgrade when something comes out, especially in the Gentoo repos. In the Gentoo repos, for a particular package, there might be 4 or 5 different versions of the same package in the repos, so you can basically pick and choose which one you want to install. And then on top of that, once you install the particular version that you want, you can, within Gentoo's package manager portage, basically lock it in so that that package and any dependencies that it requires are blocked from being upgraded for as long as you need it to be. So, I mean, there aren't really issues with incompatibility or things breaking like that, because, I mean, you're free to customize what you install, when you install it, and what version you're able to install. It's not quite the same with Arch. Arch, once they upgrade to the latest version, they remove the older versions of a package fairly quickly. So in that regard, you're kind of, once you upgrade, there's really no rollback path. Whereas with Gentoo, even if you upgrade to the latest version, if something happens, you can always roll back to a previous version within the repos.
Sorry to interrupt you there prematurely, but I'm not sure, from my understanding as a newbie, that's really true. That as long as you don't delete the package cache on your local machine, that you have all of the old versions, you can run scripts or programs which will delete, say, and only keep the last 3 versions of any particular software. And they also have, I'm not sure how up to date it is or what the status, but I saw mention of kind of a way back machine for all Arch packages, and you can enter commands and have it install any kind of package. I'm not saying it's all automated, you know, with any of these things you basically have to know what you're doing and to be careful about incompatibilities between versions. And, you know, the simpler the package is with the fewer dependencies or none at all, the more likely you are to be successful. But I think those same mechanisms do exist in Arch as well.
Well, the problem is they do exist, but you have to go through tons of extra steps to do them.
They're also not officially supported.
They're not officially supported. The officially supported method is once a new package comes out, you upgrade to it, and that's it. There's no reverse path. If you want to roll back, you basically have to find one of these methods to do it yourself. Whereas in Gentoo and Portage, rolling back is officially supported, and it's basically a two commands, emerge dash unmerge in the name of the package, and then you set which version you want, and then emerge and the name of the package, and it'll install the correct version that you want. Simple as that.
Looking through the hey Cobra, you're meeting. Looking through the documentation of Arch, and I'm a newbie to Arch, it didn't look complicated to roll back to a particular version or to install from that repository I mentioned. I'm not sure really what the difference is between supported and non-supported. You know, at the end of the day, it's a free OS, and does Gentoo really support all of your problems? You know, it's the support you get surely is based upon the strength of the community and your ability to interact and your own skills, you know. And this for me seems a big difference between, at least I'm understanding now, a roll-in release like Gentoo, Arch, maybe some others, and the kind of more automated where you get backported security and bug fixes to major packages like for Debian or Ubuntu. But that major upgrade, you're basically putting off to some later point, which is, I think we've clarified, it usually is quite painful, you know, and time-consuming.
I just want to touch on the supported topic that you were just talking about. The difference between supported and unsupported is when you install an unsupported package in Arch specifically, you are the maintainer of that package, and any bugs that are generated from it, that's your problem, and somebody might be willing to help you out, but anybody who's running the standard distribution isn't going to be able to help you. You're going to have to find somebody that did exactly the same thing that you did.
Whereas with Gentoo, if it's supported in Portage, the Gentoo devs view out, and they're very friendly, very open. They will answer any questions you need in IRC or even email or in the forums. So,
sure, I understand. I haven't really got my feet with Arch yet. Maybe Gentoo is the thing I should be trying. I'm not sure.
Well,
I'd stick with Arch first, boss.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Neo.
Go ahead.
You do yours, and I'll close the subject.
I was just going to say, I would probably get a bit more familiar with Arch first before wetting your feet with Gentoo. I've been using Linux for about 12 years now, and it took me until 4 years ago to finally get to where I had enough knowledge and experience that I felt I was confident enough to try Gentoo. So.
To return to the subject of Arch, is it source based, or are there also binary packages?
Both.
Okay.
And
then
the main supported packages are binary, and the AUR, the user contributed packages, are source.
Okay. Then what would you say would in practice the biggest difference for a regular, say a Fedora user or a Ubuntu user?
I don't know. Just from my perspective, just as being I was on Ubuntu or Ubuntu Respins, and just when it comes to upgrading or making sure you've got a backup before you do an update, just what I've educated myself so far in the last week, it just seems you've got to be a little bit more aware, have good backups. You've got to know what files you've modified, perhaps use a few scripts to understand, and it's not just opening Synaptic or some other package manager and clicking update and blindly hoping, on the most part, all the update is okay. But it's kind of getting involved a little bit, and if you're interested in getting a bit more involved and understanding what's really going on and not just sort of hopping from one distro to another, hoping that the next one will solve all your problems and be better than the previous, but kind of getting your feet wet and getting a little bit involved. And at least my first impressions and experience so far have been surprisingly good, and I'm happy if that helps to kind of close this subject at all.
Yeah, the thing with both Arch and Gentoo, and even Slackware, When you start to involve source packages, you basically have a level of control over not only what gets installed, but what features of it get installed that you don't get in binary distros. With any one of those three, Slackware, Arch, or Gentoo, you can even go in and edit the individual make file for the package so that, let's say you're installing, Pigeon, and you don't need MSN Messenger support. You can actually set it in the make file. Or in Gentoo's case, it's a simple use flag to basically disable that, and it won't get compiled into the final binary when you install it, which does two things, or actually three things. It makes the individual program run a little bit faster because it's less that has to load. Two, without the extra code running, you have fewer security vulnerabilities that you have to deal with. And three, because you're compiling in less things that you don't need, it takes up less space on the hard drive and also offers better overall performance for your system.
You also don't need to have as many dependencies when you're doing stuff that as well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention
that. I would guess all the things you mentioned are really important, but the hard disk thing is probably moot, because to in order to do this and to have all the backups of versions and what have you both on Gentoo and Arch, the distro will use a lot more disk space, but that's cheap nowadays, so I'm guessing that's not the most critical or the reason to do this at all.
Actually, I'm running Arch off of a 8 gig SSD, so space is extremely important.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've run Gentoo off of an 8 gig SSD, so.
But what I mean more is just, with I've used with an Ubuntu build, the whole install will only take, say, 1.5 gig or something like that, maybe less. But for the equivalent right now in Arch, mine is up to about 4 or 5 gig, still within the size of your SSD, but it does use more space, it seems to me. But that's not a problem for me.
Yeah, my Arch install is right around 800 megs, and that's with X and Fluxbox.
Wow, where do you store all the packages which are downloaded and installed? Do you keep those versions, or because they seem to take up quite a bit of space?
The way I do it is when I upgrade, I push, when I get back home, if I'm out of the house, I push all my back packages to my NFS server.
Yeah, I saw some scripts for doing that, for moving them to a different place.
Yeah, that's one thing that Gentoo has the ability to do. If you set it up with external storage, network storage or Samba or whatever the case may be, you can store all of your repository packages and everything that's stored locally on a network partition, so that you can have an extremely small hard drive. In fact, I think the minimum requirement for a root partition in Arch, I mean not Arch, in Gentoo, is something like, I want to say 2.4 gigs is what they recommend, minimum.
Yeah, I'm at 2.6 now. But did you think many of the Arch people actually do this? I understand it's all possible, but does that not, because I just run one machine and I have no need to put it off somewhere else?
Well, the nice thing about when I download packages for my little netbook that runs x86, I can use those exact same packages without having to download them again on my other machine, which is also x86.
Yep, same with Gentoo. That's part of the reason why I do it, because I run multiple Gentoo machines. Once I download the packages to a single local repository cache, I don't have to download them again.
I was reading something on the Arch that you can set up one machine as kind of a master package downloader, and then the others can just pick up off of it.
Cobra, what's going on in there?
I'm sorry, I'm back in meat, and evidently my push-to-talk keeps on getting hung.
Anyway, not wanting to occupy all the time, I'll let the Arch Linux subject drop and pass it back on to our host.
I'm sorry?
Unless anyone else has any more... Yeah, to you. Unless anyone else has any more questions about Arch Linux or what have you, I'll carry on my exploration and education, and I'll pass it back to our host.
Okay. Do we want to... I think we want to... record the do we want to take this recording of the Arch episode as a separate recording of whatever is happening next?
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.